Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are going straight to Mark chapter 9. We've been really going far. We started from Mark chapter 1. We are in Mark chapter 9. And I want to say good morning to you. Thank you for joining today's podcast. I celebrate you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As we go into Mark chapter 9, may the Lord give you light. May the Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Mark chapter 9. Now, I need to say this. I'm not giving, if there are 20 lessons to learn in Mark chapter 9, I'm not going to give you the whole 20. And I'm not saying even the whole 20 is not all there is to Mark chapter 9. Only God knows how many times I've had to listen to the book of Mark, you know. But the beautiful thing is that the more we read it, the more light we see. When I was doing a study on this chapter yesterday, even though I had studied it many times, I was doing another study yesterday on Mark chapter 9. I found out new things. And that's the beauty of God's word. The more you go into God's word, the more light you see. So whatever lesson we learn today, just pick, even if it's just one thing you want to walk with, pick that one thing and walk with it. May God give us grace and strength in Jesus' name. All right. Mark chapter 9 begins, I'll just go straight to the first lesson I want us to learn, which is the fact that verse 2 says, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up to a high mountain. Okay, all right, before I continue, I just want us to remember something. You know, Mark chapter 8, I think I didn't end Mark chapter 8 yesterday, you know, but, and there's something very important I really want to talk about towards the end, which is the fact that the Bible says that you should take up the cross and follow Jesus. Taking up the cross, I've explained this many times. It simply means you denying yourself. You know, denying yourself means those things that your flesh is asking you to do. You tell your flesh, no, that is you denying yourself. So you look after a lady and you like the lady's bum bum. And then you want to do a second look. Your flesh is telling you, look at the girl again. And then the ability for you to say no, and then you refuse to look again, that is what we call denying yourself. You're on your phone, and then suddenly you see a pornography video popping up, and then you just feel like, let me watch it. And then that spirit tells you, don't do it. So the ability to deny your flesh from watching that video is you taking up the cross and following Jesus. Is it a difficult task, you know? But this is what discipleship is all about. May God give us grace in Jesus' name. All right, now we are going to Mark chapter 9. So Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them to a high mountain. And I'm wondering why Peter, James, and John. There is nothing wrong. See, everyone will not follow you. Even the pastor in your church, no matter how close you are to your pastor, I believe your pastor, he has someone that is also closer to him than you are to him. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. So there are always those people that, you know, they are just closer. They are just closer. And it is wisdom for you not to have everyone as your friend. It is wisdom not to try to impact your grace, the grace that God has put upon you, try to impact it on everybody. It is wisdom to just find 1, 2, 3 persons. For Paul, it was Timothy. For Elijah, it was Elisha. You know, they were very deliberate about the person they wanted to really build. I mean, individually. And for Jesus, it was Peter, James, and John. Then it was the 12. Then we have the 70. You know, Jesus Christ had the 70. But from, in fact, we had 120, like that, you know. Mary, Martha, all of those people were also disciples of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene, they were disciples of Jesus Christ. But you see, Jesus selectively took these three and then gave them thorough teaching. You know, I have people like that in the ministry that I'm coordinating currently that I am on their neck. Almost every day I'm on their neck, you know, teaching them, you know, tougher things and, you know, bringing them to light. So there's nothing wrong with you having intimate friends, people that you really, really walk in with, you know. And, you know, the Bible says that he took them up to a high mountain, you know, took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain, a secluded place, you know, a place where there are no crowds. And sometimes, you know, I believe that the best encounter you can have with God, the best encounter Peter, James, and John saw, for me, I think it was his transfiguration. I don't know if there was any other thing, but by my own calculation, I think the best encounter they had was the transfiguration encounter. I mean, physical encounter. I'm not talking about the endowment of the Holy Spirit that they had and all of that. I mean, physical, that they could see. They saw Jesus. They saw Moses. They saw Elijah. They saw Jesus in his glory. You know, it's different for you to see Jesus, you know, eating bread with you, doing a lot of things with you, urinating, you know, buying stuff. You know, Jesus did literal basic things. But this time around, they saw Jesus in his glory. I think that's the biggest experience of Peter. And that biggest experience of Peter was seen when he left the crowd. And I say this to you, your best encounter with God is will happen when you go into your private place. The best encounter you want to have with God, you will have it when you decide to stay away from the crowd. You go to the high mountain. High mountain does not necessarily mean you go into one tall building. But the meaning of that high mountain is you going away from the crowd and secluding yourself. Let it just be you and Jesus alone. You will have encounter. Stay there for days. Stay there for hours. Pray. Trust God. You will have encounter. For Peter, it was just Peter, James, John, and Jesus. No other person. So it was easy for them to have encounter. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And that encounter was massive. They saw Jesus Christ in his glory. And the beautiful thing is that when I was studying this thing yesterday again, you know, what dropped him? I was just excited about the fact that if Peter, James, and John could see Jesus in his glory, I will also see Jesus in his glory. Hallelujah. And it will be massive. It will be a massive experience. We will also see Jesus. We will see Moses. We will see Elijah. And the beautiful thing is that the moment we see Moses, Moses will not need to introduce himself. We will just know that this is Moses. This is Joseph. This is Elijah. Oh, this is Abraham. We will know these guys. Hallelujah. I can't wait for that day. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we see the forwardness of Peter. You know, Peter, just last chapter, the chapter before this, he had an encounter with God. He could see who Jesus Christ was. He seen to who Christ. He said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." He was able to get revelation. And this time, Peter was already talking about creating a tabernacle for Jesus, for Moses, and for Elijah. He put Jesus, Moses, and Elijah in the same level, which was terribly wrong. And a voice came from heaven immediately saying, "Hear only Jesus." So every time you want to compare your pastors with Jesus, there is always a voice coming from heaven saying that there is nobody that you should ever put in the same level with Jesus Christ. It should never happen. Only Jesus is who you should listen to. So if you are confused about anything, you're trusting God, whether to go to the right or to the left, the best person that can show you the best pathway for your life, Psalm 32 verse 8, the best person that can show you the best pathway for your life is Jesus. The only person, if I'm not the best person, the only person that can show you perfectly is Jesus Christ. So yeah, only Jesus. And that does not mean you cannot listen to advices from men. When men gives you advice, if that advice is not in tandem with Jesus's word, then you should never take it. May God give us grace and strength in Jesus' name. All right, so very quickly we go straight to verse 14, the healing of the boy. It's amazing to see that a boy can be demon possessed. And this is an encouragement to parents. Not just to parents, even if you're not yet a parent. Please, when you give birth, pray for your children. Imagine that a boy... I've been reading of several healings in the Bible. This demon-possessed one is a very tough one. Because the Bible says that the demon was taking the guy and knocking him on the floor. Knocking him. It was a massive one. A massive one so much that the disciples could not even heal him. But this happened to a boy. In if you go downwards, the Bible says that this thing has happened to this child from childhood, from as a baby, as in he had this problem as a child. So that's in verse 21. How long has this been happening to him? He said, from childhood. Please take care of your children. Pray for them. Don't let them to be demon possessed. Give them Jesus as early as possible. You can see the trauma this man would have gone through if he had trained his child in the way he should go. And he had prayed for his child early. He had shown the child the way of Jesus early. I'm sure this child would not have gone this bad. But then, there is no situation that cannot be turned around for good. In the case of this man, he interceded for his child. You can intercede for people. In this case, this child was not even praying. He was not doing anything. He was just there. But a man was interceding, was praying. You can intercede for your mom. You can intercede for your children. You can pray with your faith. We learned in the same book of Mark that we have these guys, four friends in Mark or Matthew now. They interceded for this particular man that was paralyzed. They brought the man to Jesus. You know, you can bring others to Jesus. You can pray until that person gets his healing. You are not going to rest. Like this man, this father kept on interceding and said, "Father, I don't have faith, but this is my little faith." And the Bible says that little faith is enough. Because he said, if your faith is like a mustard seed, it can move mountain. This man's faith was not a great faith. You know, Jesus Christ would always say, "I've never seen this kind of faith in the whole of Israel." In the case of this man, his own faith was not a great faith. Like the centurion man, like the other woman. You know, like most of those people that Jesus Christ commended in the Bible, this man's faith was not great, yet he got his healing despite the fact that his faith was little. So no matter how little your faith is, put it to action. Even if you are still doubting, in that doubt, begin to declare in faith and say, "Father, I am, see, this help my unbelief." You know, the biggest problem you can ever get to in life, the biggest problem you ever face is you trying to have faith when you know there is no faith in you. This man was very honest. He told Jesus, "I don't have faith. Help me." And Jesus helped him and he got his healing. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. I'll go straight to verse 30. Jesus was talking about his death and resurrection. Imagine me telling my followers that I'm going to die, and the next thing these guys are thinking about, verse 33, they are thinking about who is going to be the greatest. You can imagine how carnal we can become. These were guys who were moving with Jesus daily. Daily. And then Jesus talked about his death. They were thinking about who is going to be the greatest. Well, Jesus answered them and he said, if you want to be great, then you have to be a servant. And that is actually the road to greatness. If you want to be great in life, serve. If you want people to serve you, serve first. Serve. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Verse 38 is a simple lesson. So the disciples saw some guys casting out demons in Jesus' name. They were casting out demons. And then they got jealous. They were telling, "Jesus, we saw some people casting out demons in your name. What should we do?" Jesus, leave them alone. As long as they are not against us, and just leave them. It's fine. We can go so jealous and envious because we see people doing the things that we cannot do. Don't forget that just a few verses away, the disciples could not heal that boy. And then they saw some people healing in the name of Jesus and then they grew jealous. So as Christians, when you see your brother doing something you cannot do, celebrate them as long as they are not against us. So celebrate them. Thank God for their life. And one thing is, if you celebrate others for those things that you cannot do, God will also bless you. Before you know it, you will begin to do even more than those things because your heart is right. May God help us in Jesus' name. And then finally, you know, the Bible says that we should be careful of not being the reason for the fall of another person. Hey, verse 42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it will be better for him if millstone was hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. That one is a dangerous one. That's a serious one. You can imagine that Jesus could use that example, that if you allow another person to fall, it will be better for them to put a stone around your neck and then they should throw into the sea. You know why? So that you'll be able to sink very well. You can imagine that grievous illustration, that horrific illustration for someone who is the reason for another person's fall. And how can you be the reason for another person's fall? By many ways. Paul said that if it would mean for me not to eat meat, I would rather not eat it than to eat meat and then be the reason for another person's fall. That's how grievous that sin is. So it could be movies. That was, you know, you can be watching a movie and a little child is there watching the same movie with you and they are kissing in that movie. You are not even supposed to be watching it. And you still allow this boy to be watching the same movie that you are watching. You're already the reason for that boy's fall. Because by the time that boy when he's in his private place and he's beginning to masturbate, beginning to think about sex, you won't know you are the one causing it because you will put a child beside you to be watching seasonal movie together with you. You are the reason for that child's fall. And the Bible says it will be better for them to hang a stone around the person's neck. Put the person inside the sea so that the person can go deep, deep, deep down. That's how grievous that sin is. May God help us. May God give us grace not to be the reason for another person's fall. By your dressing, some of you don't care. You just dress anyhow, shabbily. I know some people are so cursed. Sorry to use the word cursed, but that's actually the truth. That even if you wear friard, even if you wear gown, they will still fall. But then your intention should be right. You dress well first. Dress well. Ensure that your dressing is not going to be the reason for another person's fall. Your words, the words that you speak, your attitude. I pray the Lord will give us grace. How will you be able to achieve all these things? By praying for grace every day. When you wake up in the morning, before you set out, pray for grace. Lord, give me grace. Give me grace. Give me grace. Because you cannot do all of these things by your own strength. You need the strength of God. Is it easy? It's not easy. But you need to trust God for His grace, for His strength. You need to keep asking, Lord, give me grace. Give me strength in the name of Jesus. And may God help us in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining today's podcast. God bless you. I celebrate you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.